New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and that the time is near. But do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues. And there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you, and they will persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance. For I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." This is the word of our Lord. It is passages like the one that we heard in Isaiah this morning that John read for us that gets me jazzed up about God and about our faith. It fills me with excitement and happiness. In fact, I will even make the bold statement and say that I think it is literally impossible to hear that passage and to not be overcome with joy and zeal for life. And if you can read that passage and not experience some surge of positive emotions, then see me after the service because we need to read it together. The entire passage contains so much hope and joy for the future. Promises of restoration and peace again. It is a beautiful vision and definitely hope-inspiring. Most of you know that I worked as a counselor before I left for seminary and pursued a career in ministry. I counseled children and adolescents, families and couples. While I found my profession to be very rewarding at times, I also found it to be very limiting at times. And I found it to be limiting because I worked for a public agency, and therefore I was not able to openly discuss God or talk about religion and faith. And if the client didn't bring up God or their particular religious belief, then it was left out of the therapeutic conversation. So imagine these conversations in which people are experiencing extreme difficulties and hardships in life. They are grieving the death of loved ones. They are amidst separations and divorces. They're grieving affairs and betrayals in the marriage. Or they're going through the heartaches and frustration of raising a teenager. They are facing such difficulties that their lives are plagued with anxiety and depression. So my sense of limitation revolved around how I could truly provide any sort of relief from their grief if I couldn't bring God into the conversation. It seemed almost like a failed effort to provide hope for someone if we couldn't discuss the hope and peace that we find and experience in our faith. So since I wasn't able to use God as a tool, I relied upon certain counseling techniques, like cognitive behavioral therapy. So trying to change these long ingrained thinking patterns and incorporating in positive thinking. And there is some benefits that come from that approach, and there is power in positive thinking, but we find so much more power in God. There's so much more power and healing that can occur when you can empty all your concerns and your problems of life into God's hands. and amidst your prayers, you genuinely know and trust that God is listening, that God is willing and able to provide relief and to restore harmony to your life again. When you know that God, the creator of the universe and everything that is in it, is leading you and providing for you amidst your suffering, that is when you gain the strength to face the trial and to endure it. Knowing that we can trust God as a source of relief for our difficult times brings so much more comfort to our souls than any other counseling or approach or technique. When you can incorporate hope into a person's life and seemingly hopeless situation by sharing the hope that we find and experience from our faith, that is when you see people's lives change. That is when you see long-lasting effects and changes. And that is what our passage from Isaiah does this morning. This passage describes the utopian restoration God is preparing for the Israelites, who had been living in exile for quite some time. In a context where the reality of life was such that conquerors continually displaced the people, taking their children away from them, throwing them out of their homes and off their land, Isaiah envisions a new future for them and a new life. In Isaiah's vision, the people are brought back from exile to live on their own land, free from the fear of conquest again. It breathes hope into the future of the Israelites. This passage details God's promises to the Israelites of a future filled with peace and prosperity, one in which joy will be poured into it. The people will delight and rejoice. No longer will there be cries of distress or weeping, but people will live long lives with nice homes and vineyards and fruit. And never again will they have to worry about someone else coming in and taking these things from them. There are two verses in this passage that I wanted us to focus on this morning. The first one is verse 17, when God says, "I am creating a new heaven and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or even come to mind." It is such a hope-inspiring verse because God is promising to change everything for them and for the better. God is saying things are changing and they are going to be so wonderful and they will completely erase all the previous difficulties and tumultuous times that you went through. You won't even be able to remember them. Almost like some sort of holy amnesia. And to the Israelites, this is huge. At this point in Isaiah, the Israelites were returning from exile after spending many, many years displaced from their homes, away from the comfort of their homeland. They spent years feeling abandoned and abandoned by God because they were living in exile. They were plagued by fears regarding their safety and well-being. So I imagine that they were in need of some sort of holy amnesia to wipe away all those painful memories. Clearly, this text refers to the bright and prosperous future of the Israelites. But by extension, this is a source of encouragement and hope for our own lives. This story is our story as we understand ourselves as God's children, therefore recipients of this same sort of utopian experience that God promises. And as we understand that, and as we embrace it, it breathes excitement and joy into our own lives and into what our future holds. In those times when we feel displaced in this world, when we feel like everything that we once knew and was comfortable with has been turned upside down, we can find solace and a reassuring hope in this passage, knowing that God is always creating a new thing and that our future will be brighter than our past. It is in passages like these that we gain a wisdom and are able to understand that on the other side of our difficulties and our tumultuous times, God is pulling those things together to restore harmony to our lives again and to bring peace to our souls. A harmony that is so sweet and wonderful that not only will there be no more weeping or cries of distress, but so much joy, rejoicing, and happiness that it will flood our entire being and our lives, causing us to forget all the pain that we once felt. This sort of holy amnesia being described here reminds me of similar stories that I hear from new mothers. I have a lot of girlfriends that are new moms right now. And I think all of you mothers in the congregation, as well as you fathers, can appreciate this story as well. Perhaps you can recall those early moments when you first found out you were pregnant and the excitement you felt as you daydreamed about parenthood and what that would be like. And the cravings that started out as cute and funny as you enjoyed weird combinations of food. Or the bliss as you enjoyed your favorite foods guilt-free. Or how about the joy and excitement of going shopping for the cute little outfits, the bows for her and the bow ties for him. And as the months went on, the excitement about being pregnant shifted to, I am so fat, I cannot even see my own swollen feet. And I cannot wait to have this baby already. I feel like a bloated beached whale. And all the husbands were just as ready for it to end because they were tired of the emotional roller coaster and the surge of hormones that was constantly occurring. I have friends that tried every wives' tale to induce labor early. They tried castor oil, running up and down the stairs, driving continuously over speed bumps. They tried eating spicy foods, prayer, walking. They tried everything just so it would end. And then there is the labor process, a natural process which is believed to be very painful, and it can be a very long and painful process. But afterwards, you hold your child in your arms, and you stare into its eyes, and you run your fingers over its precious little toes and its tiny little hands. And in those moments, all those months of misery melt away. And as the days press on, you enjoy the joys of being a new parent. You completely forget about the agony of the pregnancy and the pains of childbirth. You even contemplate doing it all over again. And you men, you forget about the months of emotional roller coasters you went on and that you had to deal with from your wife. Or do you? It is in those joyous moments that you experience your own sort of holy amnesia as you enjoy your new life with your precious baby. When God says he is creating a new thing and all the former things shall not be remembered, he is describing the same sort of holy amnesia that new mothers and fathers experience. He is describing a promise of a radiant future that will melt away all those previous hardships. Now, I mentioned that there were two verses that I wanted to focus on this morning. And the other verse is verse 24, when God says, before they call on me, I will have heard them. Before they have even begun speaking, I will have answered their prayers. Historically, this verse is recalling those instances when the Israelites failed to call upon God. So God's plan in this newly created utopian world is to help them before they even have to call on him. And even before the words have left their mouth, God will have already answered them in their prayers. It is an extremely comforting verse because it means that even before we are faced with adversity, God has already begun arranging a solution for our problem and orchestrating events in our lives to provide relief. It is in this verse that we are able to truly find peace and rest for our souls as we understand that God has already taken the lead in providing for us well before our distress even begins. Usually we wait until we're right in the middle of a difficult time before we cry out for God's help. We are completely engulfed before we are even aware that we need God's help. There is genuine peace to be found as you know and trust that amidst your difficulties, God is present and has already begun to bring restoration and harmony to our lives again. And beyond that, it is such a utopian restoration that we won't even be able to remember those former things. Those things that at one time caused us so much pain and heartache. This passage of Isaiah is a beautiful snapshot of the life God has in store for all of us. It is hope-inspiring that is so much more powerful than any counseling technique. And it's life-altering as it breathes excitement and joy into our lives and into what our future holds. Brothers and sisters, this is the good news that our God promises us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.